The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be interviewing Mark Podwell, who is an expert on the city of Prague, and one of the few places, I think probably one of the only places in Europe that I'd actually like to go visit is Prague. Because of all of the, thousand years of Jewish history there, per se. We also have wonderful Jewish music for you of all kinds. We got some requests. You're not going to believe this request. And I was actually happy because I know I had this CD. As soon as I saw the request, I said, oh, I got that. That's an easy one. Yeah. And it is the portion of Vayechi. We're closing out the book of Genesis this week. But I think we're going to spend some time talking about today, which is a Sarah Batavis, a fast day. We have an interesting divine providence type story that's not all that old, from 1988. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A group of Arabs attacked an Israeli bus in Samaria. The group hurled firebombs at the bus but did not cause any injury. The attack took place near the city of Shechem. 18-year-old Israeli Arab Mohammed Mafaraji was indicted for the terrorist bombing of a Tel Aviv bus last month that injured 26 people. Mafaraji is a student of Bir Zeit University in Ramallah. He faces life imprisonment if convicted of all charges. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will take on the position of foreign minister after Avigdor Lieberman resigned. Lieberman decided to resign after he was indicted last week on one charge of breach of trust. Netanyahu's dual role likely will end after the January 22nd elections.
The United States condemned Israel's plan to build 1,500 new homes in North Jerusalem. The State Department criticized the move and called on Israel to refrain from unilateral actions. In response, the Interior Ministry's Planning Committee gave its approval to build another 2,600 homes in Givat Hamatos in South Jerusalem, but it was just located in an area restored to the city during the Six-Day War. For your Department of Irrelevance, the current United Nations General Assembly session adopted 22 country-specific resolutions targeting Israel and 4 for the rest of the world combined. There was one each for Syria, Iran, Korea, and Burma. Last Tuesday alone, the UN General Assembly adopted 9 resolutions on Palestinian rights and the Golan, sharply criticizing Israel, yet making no mention of last Sunday's massacre of Palestinian Arabs by Syrians' warplanes firing into a mosque in a refugee camp near Damascus. A newly declassified damage assessment revealed that convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, you remember him, was seeking information for nuclear, military, and technical information on the Arab states, Pakistan, and the Soviet Union, and not on the United States. The damage assessment, which was classified by the CIA and only released Friday, reveals that Pollard's handlers never expected interest in U.S. military activities, plans, capabilities, or equipment. You think it snowed over here? Mount Hermon has been closed for visitors since Thursday morning due to a blizzard. More than a foot of snow has fallen on Israel's highest mountain. And finally, the University of Cambridge, that's in England, posted online thousands of pages from the Cairo Geniza. One of the documents is the Nasha Papyrus, a 2,000-year-old fragment containing the Ten Commandments and part of the Shema prayer discovered in Egypt in the late 19th century. It is the world's second oldest known manuscript containing a text from the Hebrew Bible. The oldest, of course, is the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that's the news.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Kerry Schulfeldman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I'm on live with Mark Podwell concerning the Prague's Old Jewish Cemetery. How are you doing, Mr. Podwell?
Fine. Glad to be here.
It is indeed our pleasure. Two questions, which are really one question. Why Prague and why the cemetery?
Well, my interest in Prague began when I illustrated Elie Wiesel's book, The Golem, and that was in 1983. And the Jewish community in Prague thought that I may have been from Prague because the drawing so accurately depicted the Jewish quarter. And
okay.
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
And that eventually led me to have an exhibition of my works at the Jewish Museum in Prague. And I started to do projects with the Jewish Museum, from calendars to a print for their 100th anniversary. And I've been to Prague now 15 times. I try to go there each year for Rosh Hashanah. I was just there for Purim. And I love Prague.
Yeah, as of all the cities, I've made this public, of all the European cities, the only city that I want to go to is Prague, just because of the tremendous history there, being one of the oldest Jewish communities in the in Europe.
Well, it's in addition to being one of the oldest Jewish communities in Europe, there have been there's documentation of Jews being in Prague in 900 years in the 10th century. There are many sites that have been preserved. The oldest synagogue that's still functioning in Europe is the Altneu Shul in Prague. It's 700 years old. The cemetery is from 1439. So it's like entering a time capsule.
Mm-hmm. And America wasn't even around then. So it's really just...
America was around, but we weren't, yeah.
For sure not. So so what was it exactly about Prague that captured your interest?
Well, I'm interested in legends, and I've illustrated over the years, in addition to doing drawings for the New York Times op-ed page, mainly on the Middle East and Israel, I've done many books on legends, including books with Elie Wiesel, a Passover Haggadah that's now in its 12th printing, and I've done books on Chelm and legends about the Dybbuk and the Golem, and Prague is just filled with history and legends, and in our film, what I tried to do was juxtapose the history against the legends. So there'll be legends about the Golem, legends about Rabbi Loewy the Maharal, legends about the cemetery and the various synagogues. And because I'm very fascinated with Jewish folklore and legends.
Mm-hmm. Now, the cemetery, they focus on, uses a focal point in your documentary. Cemeteries are creepy places.
This cemetery is not a crazy place. I don't like cemeteries. I'm also a physician in addition to being an artist, and I just, dealing with disease and so on, I just don't like cemeteries. But, and I don't like attending funerals, although it says in Kohelet, it's better to go to a house of mourning than a celebration. But this cemetery, it's not eerie, and it's very magical, it's very mystical, and over the years, people who would visit the cemetery, friends of mine, for instance, David Levine, who's one of the leading artists in the United States of caricatures. His drawings have appeared in the New York Review of Books for years. His wife sends me a postcard years ago in the 1980s that they're in the Jewish cemetery, I must visit there. A curator at the Israel Museum sends me a postcard years ago saying I must visit there. And not only did I wind up visiting there, I wound up doing a film on it, because it's the Jewish cemetery in Prague is the second most visited site, the Jewish cemetery and the Jewish museums, other than Prague Castle. They get almost 700,000 visitors a year. And coincidentally, the day before our film start the broadcast on PBS, Michelle Obama will be in the Jewish cemetery.
Wow.
And, of course, the Obamas will be in Prague, and whether or not the president will also be visiting the Jewish quarter, I'm not sure, but I've already been in touch with the curator of the Jewish Museum in Prague, who'll be taking Michelle Obama around. And in 1994, there was a photograph of President Clinton wearing a yarmulke visiting the Jewish cemetery. So many dignitaries visit there because it's such a remarkable place. And what we've tried to do in our film is evoke the spirit of the place.
Mm-hmm. So the when exactly would the first person was buried in the?
Okay, as far as is known, the first tombstone is dated from 1439, and the tombstone is of the Rabbi Avigdor Caro. And Avigdor Caro, he's one of the famous personalities buried in the cemetery. His father was a rabbi in Prague who was murdered in 1389 in this terrible pogrom, where it said that 3,000 Jews were killed in Prague. But there weren't 3,000 Jews in Prague. But the Jewish community was devastated. And Rabbi Avigdor Caro wrote an elegy about that pogrom. It's a poem, and it's recited every year on Yom Kippur at the either the beginning or end of the Mincha service. I heard it about 2 years ago. And there are translations of it. And part of that poem, the elegy, is recited by the actor Joe Wiseman in our film. Joe Wiseman is a very famous actor. Mm-hmm. He's known for being Dr. No in the first James Bond film.
Oh, okay.
He was married to Pearl Lang, who recently died.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Fritz Weaver, who recites Peretz's story of the golem. And the main narrator in the film is Claire Bloom, who does really a beautiful job. But we couldn't have gotten anybody better.
Yeah, she really was. I received a preview copy of it, which I'm very grateful to WNET New York for sending that to me. So
So as far as is known, the first gravestone that they found bears the date 1439, and that's the grave of Avigdor Caro. And mm-hmm. we show in the film the gravestone, but that's actually the only replica that's in the cemetery. The actual gravestone was moved into one of the buildings of the Jewish Museum because the weather was just destroying it. So that's the only replica of a gravestone that's in the cemetery.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you have any record of what was doing with people getting buried before that time?
Sure. There was the previous cemetery, which is actually mentioned in Avigdor Caro's elegy, because he mentions in the elegy, and we have that part recited, that the mob, after they slaughtered Jews in the Jewish quarter, they went to the cemetery and they dug up the skeletons. They were looking for jewelry, and they smashed the bones of the skeletons and they smashed their tombstones.
Oh my goodness!
Now that cemetery was known as the Jewish Garden, and in around 2000, I was in Prague at the time. They were excavating the foundation for a insurance building. And in the excavations, which were going to be the garage, they came across that previous cemetery quite unexpectedly. So there was a big uproar because rabbis throughout the world, particularly in Israel, didn't want them to continue digging because of the belief in the corporeal resurrection of the dead, mm-hmm. not to disturb bones. So the excavation stopped. Any bones that had been disturbed were then taken and reburied in the new cemetery, which is currently used. And a monument was put over those bones. And the compromise that was made was that a large cement slab would be put over the old cemetery, which was called the Jewish Garden, and then construction continued. So that was the previous cemetery. There was probably a cemetery before that one also.
Mm-hmm. How many people would you say are buried in the Prague cemetery?
In the old Jewish cemetery, they estimate that there are 12,000 tombstones on the surface, but they estimate that 100,000 people are buried there. And because the ghetto, they couldn't expand the space for the cemetery, they would bring an earth, and then they would then bury the next level. So in some parts of the cemetery, there are 12 layers of graves. And what the tradition was, they would take the tombstones from the graves below and bring them to the surface. Not always, but they would do that. And that's why in some parts of the cemetery, the tombstones are so close to each other, because they represent layers below.
Okay, so it's not that there were actually so many people buried in one grave, which has always mystified me, as seeing pictures even as a kid of gravestones so close together.
No, it's because of the there are multiple graves underneath, and there's Jewish law that says how much earth has to be between one grave and another grave. And then in another part of the cemetery, in the beginning of the 20th century, the Jewish quarter was torn down, except for a few synagogues and the Jewish cemetery. And of course, there was a major renovation of the Jewish quarter, and all these beautiful Art Deco buildings went up. But in order to make room for a street, they destroyed part of the old Jewish cemetery, and they moved those tombstones over, and those are all clustered together close to each other, too.
So our present old cemetery is even smaller than the original?
Just a little. Not much, but just a little.
Wow.
But this cemetery has been preserved, whereas, as I was doing the film, and I wasn't quite sure what to include, I went to the cemetery that was used after this one. It was the Zhishkov Cemetery, which was a mile and a half away. And that cemetery was first used in the 1600s when there was a plague. It was called the Plague Cemetery then because there were just so many deaths at one time. And then in 1787, the emperor, when there was another plague, didn't want any more burials within the city itself, and burials had to take place outside the city, which is now part of the city. That was the Zhishkov Cemetery, where the first burials were in 1787. And what the communists did to that cemetery is that they dug up many of the graves, and they made Mahler Park. And then what they didn't dig up, they destroyed almost the rest, the remainder of the cemetery, and they built a huge futuristic television tower that we show in the film. And Claire Bloom says in her narration, protests by the Prague Jewish community were ignored.
Right. You can see that was really very disturbing, that point there. 700,000 people a year visit this small plot of land. How big would you say in acreage is the cemetery?
I don't know. I was told, and I don't remember. There are about 650,000 to 700,000 visitors to the Jewish Museum, and almost all of them go through the cemetery because it's a ticket to all the sites.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get between 600,000 and 700,000 visitors, including many dignitaries. And the cemetery has inspired many, many artists and writers over the years. So, for example, Maurice Sendak drew the tombstones in the cemetery in a children's book that he did called Dear Millie. And John Updike described the cemetery in his book Bech is Back. Mm-hmm. And he described it as the tombstones were almost like a shuffle deck of cards. And there are many paintings of the cemetery, and there was a film on Kafka that they used the cemetery in a strange way. They made it that the tomb of Rabbi Loewy became the entrance for this underground passageway. That it was a very strange version of Kafka's book, The Trial,
mm-hmm.
where they included the cemetery.
Right.
And something fascinating there are many fascinating things about the cemetery. But while I was working on the cemetery, Elie Wiesel told me he was preparing a lecture on the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And he told me that the cemetery, the old Jewish cemetery in Prague, is linked to the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in this way. In 1868, there was a German novel published. And in the third chapter, called In the Old Jewish Cemetery in Prague, there's a description of somebody watching this ritual in the cemetery, which of course is fictional. And in this ritual, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel get together on Sukkot. And it turns out they get together every 100 years. And they gather around, it says, the tomb of the main rabbi. It doesn't mention Rabbi Loewy, who is the tomb of the main the most famous tombstone in the cemetery. And it says they discuss their conspiracies for the past 100 years, what succeeded, and they plot what they're going to do for the next 100 years. And then in this novel, it says Satan comes out and congratulates them, and the golden calf appears coming out of the tombstone. And this description of the elders of Israel getting together to discuss their conspiracies eventually wound its way as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is the anti-Semitic text.
Absolutely. So now, with 700,000 people a year coming, that means that there could be as many as 2,000 people in a day going through this.
It can happen, yeah.
Does that sort of like commercialize the the cemetery?
Well, in a way, it does and it doesn't, because they do whatever they can not to commercialize it. And what they've done is the bigger concern is not so much the commercialization, because there are places all over the world that are visited that don't necessarily turn into commercial sites. The concern is damage to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is, the last years, is they've roped off paths that you can only go along this solitary path, and it'll pass by the tombstone of Rabbi Loewy, who legend says made the golem, and it's not a very long path, but people from that path can get a view of the complete cemetery. And the commercialization is more for There'll be postcards sold of images of the cemetery, photos of the cemetery. There'll even be little little ceramic
made in China golems. Yes, I noticed.
No. But not only that, that we show, but even little tombstones. Uh-huh. You know, the iconography of the tombstones. Those golems, which are made in Prague, each year I wind up finding new versions of these little ceramic golems, and I bring them back. And when we were doing the film, I saw this very nice, what I called an army of golems. And so we filmed it, and I wrote the line for Claire Bloom to say that although the magic formula by which the golem was called to life has long been forgotten, in the streets of Prague, the legend lives, armies of golems wait to be summoned. And then we show all these souvenir golems, while in the background there's a Czech song about the golem, which is a humorous song like a Gilbert and Sullivan song.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering what that song was.
It's a song about the golem.
Mm-hmm. I happened to notice that there was like a shot, just very briefly, of the Altneuse Shul. What's the proximity of the cemetery to the shul?
It's down the street.
Down the street. And it looked like to me, someone was pointing up and saying, well, that's where the golem is. And looked like there was a ladder going up to where the room was.
Well, I'll tell you all about it. The person who was pointing up, that was the scene where Aaron Rebeck, who is the chief rabbi of Prague's assistant for 3 years and now works as a tour guide, and he's fabulous. Whenever I have friends going to Prague and they want to know what they should do, I say, hire Aaron for a few days, you know, for a half hour, half a day or whatever. So he's discussing that in the attic, tradition says that's where the golem is resting, waiting to be awoken. And it's not a ladder, it's these iron rungs that you have to climb up. The fire department in the 19th century insisted that there had to be a way to get up to the attic other than just bringing a ladder. So there are these iron rungs. And in 1997, when I had an exhibition at the Jewish Museum in Prague, they were doing a restoration of the Altneue Shul. And there's all the scaffolding around the Altneue Shul. And so the curator of the Jewish Museum said, Mark, you want to come up and see the attic? Which is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that most people
never opportunity, of course.
So we go, and we were able to climb up these small ladders up the scaffolding. And I had an opportunity to look into the Altneue Shul.
Is there a big pile of books, like a big mound someplace, as the legend has it?
Well, I took photographs, and they all disappeared shortly after. I can't find them. And all I tell people is that I was quite surprised at what I saw.
Oh, come on.
I just wrote an article for the Jerusalem Post that appeared last weekend, and that's how I begin it, pretty much saying I was quite surprised at what I saw.
I don't know. Why don't people want to talk about it? I mean,
Well, what I do is I relate how this journalist, Kirsch, in 1910, went up to the attic, and he kind of said the same thing. And I quote what he says. And you see, Rabbi Ezekiel, it was very dangerous to get up there. And Rabbi Ezekiel Landau, at the end of the 18th century, then forbid people to go up there and said they would be excommunicated if they went into the attic. So what the curator told me was, if we had gone into the attic, there's the threat of excommunication. Just looking into the attic from the outside where you see the whole attic, you're not under the threat of excommunication.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I was also told, don't tell the chief rabbi I was going up there, but now with all these articles, everybody knows I was up there.
Yeah, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, who kept an extensive diary from the time that he was 12 until the time that he was 70, like pretty much 4 or 5 times a week during that time. There's a story that purportedly, which is known by all the Lubavitcher Hasidim, that as a young boy, 14 or so, 13, 14, visiting Prague with his father and sneaking into the attic, but he didn't write anything about it. So it's just like one of those stories that's sort of like cannot be corroborated even by the person doing it, because evidently there's something that, you know.
It's difficult. You can't really sneak into it because it's going to be very, those iron rungs, anybody going up there, you can't disguise the fact that you're going up there. When there's all this scaffolding and there are workers around it, it's a different story.
Uh-huh.
And there were stories, for instance, that in World War II, a Nazi officer wanted to go into the attic knowing of the golem story and went in and fell to his death.
Right, tried I know to that story.
You know, there are other stories how somebody working on the ceramic roof, the tile roof, and fell to his death because it's very steep and so on. But in I had just done a children's book to coincide with the film called Built by Angels, The Story of the Old New Synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. I do a painting of the attic of the Altneue Shul with the golem, but I have to confess it doesn't represent exactly what I saw.
It's an artist's rendition rather than an actual factual...
Yes. It doesn't match to my photos.
Uh-huh. Which don't exist anymore.
Well, they exist. I just don't know where. And I really looked for them many, many times. But it's really strange that they disappeared. The children's book, it tells the story, many, many legends about the Altnoy Shul and the history and the legends. And in the Altnoy Shul, which I try to go to frequently each year, there's even now a seat with my name on it that is near the Maharals. This is one of the places where all the other graves, you just have to walk on the path. Here the rope pathway goes around the whole tomb. And it's been the tradition of people to come and leave notes the way they do at the Wailing Wall for the Maharal to intercede on their behalf in heaven. So one of the last times we were filming, which was in April 2 years ago, it was very windy, and a lot of the notes got scattered on the surrounding earth. And one of the security guards came over, and he started to collect them and pick them up. And I was curious what he would do with them. And then he took them over to this large plastic bag, which was a garbage bag, and threw them in.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought would have been interesting to film, but would have been so out of character for the rest of the film that I'm glad we didn't film it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, there's actually... I saw a news story today, which I didn't put on my news, that twice a year they clean out the Western Wall, and they're very careful and meticulous about how they do it, but they just don't leave them there, which is what most people think, that they actually do take them over to the Mount of Olives and bury them.
Yeah, I had heard they had buried them, and then people told me they didn't bury them, but it's interesting that they would bury them on the Mount of Olives. Bringing the Mount of Olives, tradition says that when the Messiah comes, the first dead that he will raise is on the Mount of Olives.
Right.
And during our film, the curator, Arno Pajic, who's really a saint and has written books on the cemetery, and he mentioned that in many of the villages around Prague, the Jews wanted to then be buried in Prague. And when asked why, he said, well, the belief was that when the Messiah would come, it's very possible he might have not gone to every village, but Prague he would certainly come to.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. So, okay, for those wanting to know, it's Prague's Old Jewish Cemetery in House of...
It's called House of Life, the Old Jewish Cemetery in Prague. The DVD, we were waiting to release the DVD with the broadcast. That's available from First Run Features. It's on Amazon. The film has a website that my son did called houseoflifefilm.com. It's all one word, houseoflifefilm.com, where there's history and there's more information based on the cemetery, with a lot of stills from the film and the production stills.
Terrific. Okay, and again, your new book, which is a similar topic, is Built by Angels.
The Story of the Old New Synagogue. It's available, hopefully, at your local bookstores. And it's my 12th children's book, and it's a beautiful book.
Okay, Mark Podwell, I want to thank you very much for taking so much time of your day and getting ready for Shabbos over here. And continued success, and hopefully you'll have some updates. You'll come back and let us know what's doing.
No, thank you, and I greatly appreciate you having me on the show.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Hi, Rachel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. I really do like the idea of going to Prague. I just wish you would have told me what he saw inside that room where the golem is supposedly stashed away. Maybe we should organize a mission to Prague in Israel for here on the Jewish Hour. You drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. Let me know you're interested. Speaking of interested, we have up for your listening pleasure next. This is a new group called the Night Owls. They're a group of young men living in the Brooklyn section of Crown Heights. The song is called Aliyah, which means to go up. And I ran this song because my ear for new music is antiquated, so I can't relate. So, but I have these, you know, the ideas to delegate authority and choose experts where experts are necessary. So I have enlisted, and for the purpose of previewing new music, two of the Finman daughters. There's Hinda, who fancies herself on being really up on music, and then there's Shira, who really fancies herself up on being 16. So between the two of them, I managed to get a very good appreciation of new music. So Hinda liked this song a lot and said, you should definitely play it. Shira absolutely hated it and said, under no circumstances should you ever think about playing this song on your radio station. So what I'd like to do is run it by you. What do you think? Drop me a line at rabbifinman.com, or if you're not web savvy, at 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, and let me know what you think of the Night Owls singing Aliyah.
Sky, I seek a shooting star. I close my eyes and make a wish, hoping my dreams do come true.
Walking around, lost translation. Got no place to call home, aggravation station. Train sleeping on a bench, wrench under my leg, cuckling. I think it's stuck, duck under a pipe. Hope God does smite. Better be up there than lost, that's my insight. Look, look, I was good once with my family, love, trust. Find a way back, attack. Fell through far, far too dirty block. Stuck all alone, forgotten, all my own.
They tell me one in a million dreams come true. That it's stopping me, my beliefs ain't through. Every step that you take is another week to way of dreams become reality. Reach high for the stars, light hidden in your soul.
Shut the meat, always feeling held no grudge. God loved me as a slave, son enough, tough life. I got through it, found a place, settled into it, I knew it. God wouldn't let me down, came abyss, emptiness, not a sound. Unstuck, together, remember, I may be on my own, but never,
never. They tell me one in a million dreams come true.
Dream deep for every dream, we'll see the goal. You never can tell how close you are.
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Schulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. The next two pieces that we're going to be playing, actually next three, because the next one is actually we're playing two tracks, are parody. And I like to play parodies because parodies are fun. Everybody likes them. And, you know, you get to listen to some old song that you like, remember, and it's like some got some Jewish words to it, which is cool. And then I like to play klezmer. So the first one is actually a klezmer parody. We got a request from a Mr. Steve, refused to give last name, from West Bloomfield, who listens on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on WLQV 1500 a.m. right here where you're listening, for, since it's just the time of year, wanted to hear the Klezmer Nutcracker Suite. And I said, oh, that's easy, schmeasy, because I happened to get that CD way back in 1997. It was actually one of the first CDs that I ever got. So we're going to play two pieces from it. One of them is the opening piece. They're both taken from, it's a klezmerized version of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. And the way that they did it, very interesting, is if you drop it down from a major to a minor, it turns into klezmer music. It's really very cool the way people do this. And my daughter did this once with the canon in D, which everyone knows that one. And she dropped it down to a D minor, and it came out to nyet, nyet, nyekavadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad the nut, Klezmer Nutcracker.
Thank you. Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We get up now. This is Schlock Rock, not on Broadway yet, is the name of the CD. And the piece is called A Bag of Wolfson's Bagels.
He always went to school in Trumbull at the Jewish day. He had a friendly smile and had nice things to say. One day the teacher of his class announced the blessing for food is your immediate task. And so he took a breath and answered readily, I know a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. He got a bracha booklet and he did cram until he got it down from peanut butter to jam. Next day the teacher made him stand and then he gave him a test, but all his friends were at hand. As every question came, he answered easily, and a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. A fruit is a chocolate candy bar. You cannot stump him, cakes, mizzle, nor tadama from the ground. One is a gafen. The teacher jumps with joy, he answers easily, and a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. Said the bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. And then he says Baruch Atah Hashem and ends it with a motzi. As he recites it, all his friends join from near and far, that a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. A fruit is a eight, borei pri ha'eitz, shahakol for candy bars, for cakes, mizonot, ha'adama, for yam, his friends say with them. Have a bracha question he'll say easily, that a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. Every day and night, and you may try to stump him, but he'll get it right. Whether potatoes or for meat, he knows just what he will say for every beverage or treat. And he can tell you how it started easily, that a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi. Da 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 do da da da. Question he'll say easily, that a bag of Wolfson's Bagels blessing is a motzi.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hi, Shul Finman. Here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Today happens to be the 10th day of the Hebrew month of Teves. It is a fast day. The name of this fast day is the fast of the 10th of Teves. That's being quite succinct. It is a day which commemorates the initial attack of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, laying siege against the city of Jerusalem. It is quite a serious fast. We refrain from eating or drinking. That's basically the limits of our fast, is eating and drinking, rinsing out our mouth, that kind of stuff, brushing teeth, from dawn until dusk, which would put us at about, 6:30 this morning until about 5:30 this evening. So it's not a very long fast. 11 hours, no big deal. So people kind of think that it's kind of like it's a lightweight fast because it happens in the wintertime. The severity of the 10th of Teves is such that were it to fall on Shabbos, which it mathematically cannot, the calendar is set up such that the 10th of Teves will not fall out on Shabbos, we would have to fast on Shabbos. If it falls out on Friday, we fast on Friday. Other fasts are pushed back to Thursday so that we don't start our Shabbos as fasting. 10th of Teves is very serious. You think, what is so serious? It was only just the beginning. But when you think about it, could the end have been the end if the beginning were not the beginning? So even though, ultimately, the series of fasts, which is four throughout the course of the year, which starts with the 10th of Teves, really culminates with the 9th of Av, with the commemorating the destruction of the temple, which is a full day fast, like Yom Kippur, like the Day of Atonement, would never have happened were it not for the 10th of Teves. So we say the beginnings, the fact that the Almighty allowed Nebuchadnezzar the opportunity to attack Jerusalem is a very serious thing. From this, you could say, well, when a person starts thinking, you know, I'm just going to do this little thing wrong, just little tiny, itty-bitty little thing wrong. Between you and me, there's no such thing as a little bit wrong. It's like the expression my mother used to say, a little bit pregnant. There's no such thing. It's right or it's wrong. When a person starts thinking, you know, this little thing that's wrong isn't wrong, then what happens is the next thing that's next to it, which is a little bit more wrong, that's not wrong either. Until finally the person is, chainsaw massacres, I guess, you know, because at that point the guidelines of right and wrong have been totally clouded. It is for this reason that the Torah remains exact in its morals, and definitions don't change. What was not considered moral 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, is still not considered moral today. And how does immorality develop within a society? It's just that first step off the beaten path. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way? Go to rabbifinman.com, right on the front page. You don't have to go anywhere else. There's a little link thing right in the first paragraph that says, get in touch with Rabbi Finman. You click on that. You get send me an email. I get the email. I send you back an email. We become buddies, and life is wonderful. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, you'll find archived editions of the radio show. Did you miss a bit of David Podwell's interview? Well, it's probably, by the time you hear this, it's probably up there already. Miss a little bit of Joan Nathan's, Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous interview last week. That's going to be up there for a good couple of weeks, too, and it's up there for about a month. What else is there? Well, you find archived editions of the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic Jews story, and, of course, the all-important donations page. We are in the last week of December. Quite frankly, we didn't do as good as November. November we paid off. November 11th we had paid November. It is now December, what's today, 24th. 23rd, excuse me. It's December 23rd. And we haven't paid off December yet. So we need your help. We do. As it says, we're sponsored in part by our sponsors, but it's for the most part, this show is listener-sponsored, like listeners like you. So go to rabbifinman.com and click on the donations page. It's tax deductible. Get it in before December 31st. It goes on your 2011 taxes. It'll be a great credit for you, and a blessing will be showered upon your head from the Almighty. Want to send it regular old mail? That's fine. The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. 1988, there was a group of Satmar Hasidim that were traveling from London to New York on December 21st, and they decided that before they would go, that they would go to get a blessing from a person by the name of Yidla Horowitz, who lives in London, who is considered a pretty righteous fellow in his own right. And they made it that on the way to the airport, they told the cab to wait. We're going to go see this rabbi. He's going to take a couple of minutes. So they went in, and the rabbi said, I can see them in 15 minutes. And they were like, oh, no, this is like, you know, we got to get to the airport. Heathrow, you know, if you've been to London, Heathrow is like the only thing more inconvenient in the world of getting to Heathrow is Gatwick. That's even more unbelievable to get to. And so the rabbi kept them. 15 minutes go by. He waited a couple more minutes. He let them in. And he was like very nonchalant with them. He took their little notes that they wrote. He was talking with them. And so it turned out there's like an extra 20 minutes went by. And then on the way back, we got to get out of here. Plane's going to be gone. They stuck in traffic, of course, on the London. They got there with 5 minutes left to spare. But they wouldn't let them on the plane. It was too late. Sorry. They went upstairs to make arrangements to catch a flight the next day, when news came down that on December 21st, 1988, Pan Am Flight 107 from Heathrow to New York blew up over Lockerbie, killing 271 people. And they missed the flight, thanks to Rabbi Horowitz. That's the show. That's going to do it for you this week. We are so certainly glad that you tuned in today. We hope you have an easy fast to the rest of the fast if you're in Detroit, so the fast goes to 5:36. We hope you have a great week for the rest of the week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. I'll hear about my say, we are.